We certainly do thank the Lord for our country, and I want to preach on that subject this morning. I want to entitle my sermon this morning, The Greatest Country on the Planet. The Greatest Country on the Planet. I want you to turn in your Bibles, please, to the book of Isaiah, and chapter 56, Isaiah in your Old Testament, and chapter 56. And I want to share a couple of things with you this morning about our nation, about our country's founding, and show you a few things from Isaiah 56. I'll begin reading in verse 9 of this chapter. And verse 9 says, "All ye beasts of the field, come to devour, yea, all ye beasts in the forest." Now watch carefully this verse. Verse 10 says, "His watchmen are blind. They are all ignorant. They are all dumb dogs. They cannot bark. Sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber." So here, Isaiah says that those who are the watchmen, those who should be watching out for the people, are blind and they're ignorant and they're as dumb as dogs, and they cannot bark. In other words, they're supposed to shout a warning when the enemy is approaching, but they just are asleep, or else you'll see down here in a few moments that they're greedy, and in verse 12 they're just filled with strong drink. So they're drunk, they're greedy, they're only for themselves and what they can get out of being in authority. And they are sleeping and lying down, and they just love to sleep, all right? So if that is a description of the person that is supposed to be watching the city, you can see that there is quite a problem. And so hang on to that 10th verse, and then look at verse 11. "Yea, they are greedy dogs, which can never have enough. And they are shepherds that cannot understand. They all look to their own way, every one for his gain from his quarter. Come ye, say they, I will fetch wine, and we will fill ourselves with strong drink. And tomorrow shall be as this day, and much more abundant." All right, so I want to take these verses now, and I want to show you some things about the founding of this nation and about the greatness of this nation, and how the Lord works into every facet of our founding. All right, let's pray together and then the message. Our Father, we love you this morning and just thank you for the privilege to open the eternal word of the living God. And Father, I pray you will bless the message today. I pray that you will speak to hearts. I pray that we will all realize what a great country this is. Yes, some of the watchmen are not doing what they're supposed to do. Some of the watchmen have laid down on the job, so to speak. They have been blinded by ideology, by liberalism. And Father, I pray that you will help us as a country to realize where we came from and to get back to the foundation upon which our nation was formed. So, Father, bless us. I pray you'll help me as I speak, And I pray that you will bless our folks as they listen. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. When our founding fathers sat down to piece together the Constitution, they were guided by a couple of things. First, they were guided by experience. All of these men had been living for several years a battle for their freedom from the country of England, and they battled as they were guided by their experience, but they were also guided by their education. These men were highly educated men. Then they were also guided by their faith in God and God as the creator of the universe. Now, and then lastly, they were, of course, guided by the Holy Spirit of God. So these men were guided by the Lord and by their experience and by their education and by their faith in God when they sat down and penned the Constitution. It is just my opinion, and probably it is the opinion of a lot of folks listening to me this morning, that the Constitution of the United States, outside of the Bible, is one of the greatest documents that has ever been written to govern a people. And that's, I think I can say that without reservation, that this Constitution that we hold in such high esteem has is certainly a great work, one of the greatest that men have ever penned. Now, these founding fathers of ours wanted a nation. They wanted a nation of people who were guaranteed freedom. That was their first and foremost in their minds. They wanted a nation of people who were guaranteed freedom. Instead of a tyrant king over them like they had in England, when they came over to usurp their authority in the new land in America, they brought with them the king's religion, and they brought with them the king's taxes, and they brought with them the king's levies, and they brought with them the king's demands. They wanted a country, however, where the people were free from this tyranny. That was the reason they left England to begin with, so that they would not have to worship the way they were mandated to worship, but could worship according to their own free will, as they wanted. And so when they set up this Constitution, they made sure that the freedom to worship God as each man saw fit was included in that Constitution. They did not want the England's tyranny coming and reigning over them. Now, folks, the Constitution of the United States was written by men who sought to keep government out of our lives. And one thing I think needs to be emphasized in all of this, I want you to think about this matter I'm about to say. I want you to really think about what I'm about to say. The men who gave us the Second Amendment. Now, you say, what's that? Well, that's the right to keep and bear arms. The men who gave this country the Second Amendment did not just come home from a deer hunting trip. They just came home from having liberated their country and freeing their country from England's tyranny. And that's why they put the Second Amendment in the Constitution, lest the government take over and become tyrants in our lives. Now, I think that that's kind of what we are seeing in some places today. And that ought to alarm every single citizen in this country. I really don't understand why today we cannot see how far we have strayed from the intent of our founding. So many things are backwards, just completely backwards in our country today. When this virus hit, and this is one thing that the more I have thought about it, the more puzzled I have been. But when this virus hit, they shut down the country, and for the first time ever in the history of our land, they quarantined the healthy people. Now think about that. Don't you think that's a little strange? I mean, why would you quarantine the healthy people? And when they quarantined the healthy, they then brought in those, in many cases, they brought in those who were contagious with this disease and put them in nursing homes. They put them in places where that disease could quickly spread. And I don't understand some of the thinking that went on in these decisions. I heard this morning that the state of New York is angry at their governor for putting COVID-19 patients in the nursing homes, and so many, like 80% of the deaths in New York, and I think if you check the record, you're going to see it's that way in every state, but 90% or 80%, I think they said, of the people who died from quote unquote COVID-19 in New York died in nursing homes. And so New York now is all up in arms about the governor, and they don't understand why he did this. And so the governor came out this morning and blamed Donald Trump for it. I don't know how it's Donald Trump's fault, but nonetheless, he's not going to take he's not going to take the burden for it. No, sir. So he throws it off on somebody else. Now, folks, listen, our country is in trouble right now. And over the last 2 months, they have left the abortion clinics open. If you want to go execute your baby in the womb, you can do that. But they shut down the churches. I don't understand why some blue states without even letting their people know they did it, but they released criminals from prison. I don't get that one. I don't understand how that could happen, but they released prisoners, criminals, from their jail cells. Several who, the day they got out, they started killing and raping on the day they were released. But the thing that gets me is just about all of these states, these blue states, have trampled upon the Second Amendment and made it virtually impossible for any of us to carry a weapon without paying a fortune and jumping through their ridiculous hoops 4 or 5 months at a time. And they won't let us carry to protect ourselves from these thugs that they turned loose. It just doesn't make sense. Everything's backwards. Now, I want to ask the question this morning, whatever happened to we, the people? You see, that's the way we were set up. We were not set up as we, the governors. We were not set up as we, the Congress. We were set up as we, the people. And we elected Congress to go and represent us. But that is, we've lost that, folks. That is gone. Being from West Virginia, I remember when our state senator, his name was Robert Byrd, I'm sure you remember him, who was a Ku Klux Klan grand wizard back in the 40s, I think. But anyway, he went. He was a majority leader of the Senate when all of this happened, and he was interviewed by Barbara Walters. You remember Stuttering Barbara. But anyway, she interviewed Byrd, and she asked him a couple of questions that I was sitting there watching the interview, and I could not believe what I was hearing. The whole reason for the interview was because under Jimmy Carter, the United States Congress gave away the Panama Canal. They gave it away. Gave it away. And the nation was quite upset with that. And so she had the leader, the majority leader of the Senate in front of her, and she asked this question: does it not concern you, Senator, that 73% of the people in West Virginia whom you represent are opposed to giving away the canal? And as quickly, with a scowl and a sneer on his face, as he could come back at her, he said these words for a national audience. He said, "I could care less how the people of West Virginia feel. I vote the way I want to." And yet, every election, now I never knew anybody that voted for him, but every election, the people of West Virginia, quote unquote, reelected him to office. Now you explain to me how that happened. I would never have voted, and I did not one time ever vote for that crook. And I almost exploded when he said that. These people in Congress are no longer the representatives of the people, but they are the representatives of their political ideology. It's politics over principle. Our nation today is so divided, and sadly, it doesn't look like common sense ever plays into any decision that they make. Everything is simply political ideology. Now, George Washington, General George Washington, said one evening to his men as they were setting up camp to sleep for the night in the battle against the British, and he rode his horse around the camp, and he said to his officers that were just beneath him, "Gentlemen, put none but Americans on guard tonight. Put none but Americans on guard tonight." And I think that this is one of the big problems with our country today. There are too many socialists on guard today. There are too many communists on guard today. There are too many folks who have put their ideology over their country, and they are guarding the nation. They are, as Isaiah said, the watchman, the watchman. Now, I want you to see a couple of things here this morning. First, I want you to notice with me the Americans on guard have sadly been replaced. The Americans who were on guard have sadly been replaced. The Americans who gave us our founding documents all had religious freedom first and foremost in their minds. When they gathered to put this Constitution together, freedom, and especially religious freedom, was first and foremost in their minds. Religion and church greatly impacted our founding fathers. Of the 39 men who signed the Declaration of Independence, only one man was not affiliated with a major denominational church. And folks, let me remind you that back in the late 1700s, when all this was going on, every denominational church believed without compromise that this Bible was the Word of God. So 39 men signed it, and 38 of them were faithful to their church, and they were directly affiliated with God and the Bible. You see, folks, they had faith in God, and they had faith in the Word of God, clear as could be in their writings. And when they wrote the date, let me show you how much they thought and believed in God. When they wrote the date on the document that they finished and they all signed, they wrote these words, and I quote, "Done in convention." In other words, they all met and decided these things. "Done in convention by the unanimous consent of the states present on the 7th day of September, comma, in the year of our Lord." Now, doesn't that sound to you like they believed in God? I mean, they had faith in God. They realized that what they were doing had the touch of God upon it. The founding of this nation, there is no mistaking it, folks. The founding of this nation had the touch of God all over it. And they wrote in that Constitution that all of us were endowed by our Creator. And folks, that Creator, they believed, was Almighty Jehovah God, the God of the Old Testament and the God of the New Testament. There was no doubt those men were guided by the Judeo-Christian ethic that they learned from their Bibles. But through the years, we have allowed others to guard the camp. We have allowed some other watchmen to get on the wall and keep an eye on our behalf. Now, let me show you what I mean by this statement. On December the 15th, 1791, 10 amendments were made to the Constitution. They were put on the Constitution. The first one reads this way: "Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. Now, something happened along the way, didn't it? You see, we started allowing infidels, and we started allowing atheists, and we started allowing the Muslims and the Buddhists and others to guard our religious freedoms. And today, there are these Democrat-controlled states, of which we live in one, and Democrat-dominated counties all over the country who are handling this whole situation in a very suspicious way. They are watching churches, and when they meet for and assemble for church, they are given cease and desist orders for wanting to open up their churches. And folks, mark my word, you're going to see a lot of lawsuits, churches against the state and states against the churches. Now, you say, but Pastor, we closed down. No, I closed us down. And I did it not because I was told by the government to do it. I did it for your safety. I wanted to make sure that none of our folks got this virus and died. I am not sure that I could live with myself if one of you got this virus and it took your life. So I shut things down. I know that the president said this week that we can open church. All right, but now here are these blue states, and they're standing up and saying, no, you open and we're going to arrest you. And so the battle is on. Now, we were not told here that I had to shut it down. I shut it down for a reason. I shut it down for you. Now, I could have started it up last Sunday. I chose not to do that. Why? I just don't feel comfortable yet. We have so many elderly folks in our church, and bless your hearts, some of you, if the doors are open, you're going to be here. And I just want to see another week or so, 2 weeks now, I want to see what this thing's going to do. And if it continues the way it's going, I have no problem whatsoever with opening up, with the understanding that if you don't feel comfortable, stay home. You watch us over the live stream. You call in and listen to the sermon on your cell phone, or your house phone, or you wait for the CD to come to your mailbox. But listen, folks, we are in trouble in this land because these tyrants think that their word is higher than the Constitution of this United States, and it's not. Walmart, chain grocery stores, abortion clinics, marijuana distributing stores, and Target, they were all allowed to stay open. Liquor stores were allowed to stay open, but then they said, oh no, churches, you gotta close. Well, whatever happened to the First Amendment? Why didn't the governor say, I'm going to trust that the men of God have enough common sense to see what's happening here, and they're going to shut down their churches themselves? I'm not going to shut the church down because they tell me to. I'm going to shut the church down because I say I'm watching out for you. And I am, and I hope you understand that. My point is, folks, whatever happened to the First Amendment? They did not do that to keep people in. They did it to keep the enemy out. That's why the First Amendment was there. And we need to understand that. Now, look at your Bible, please. Let's go to the text here for just a moment. And look, please, at verse 10. It says here in this 10th verse that his watchmen are blind. They are all ignorant. Now, the second thing I want you to see here is that Isaiah sounds like he is telling the story of our world today, of our country today. Isaiah here in verse 10, 11, and 12, at least it seemed like it when I read it this week, it seems like he is telling the story of our nation. You see, back in Bible times, just about every town of any size had big, thick walls that were built around their city. They did not do that to make their people stay in, but they did that to keep the enemy out, especially at night when folks were sleeping. And Isaiah has just a terrible indictment that he gives against these people. All these towns would post a watchman at night, a sentry, a watchman along the wall. And that watchman's job was to walk the wall while the people slept. And if he saw anything that was suspicious, he would blow a trumpet and folks would come. They would come to fight. They knew the sound of that trumpet meant, get your sword and get ready. We're under assault. And so Isaiah says that the watchmen were not doing their job. Not doing their job. He said, look, the watchmen, they're blind. They're all blind. Now let me ask you a question. If you lived in a city and it had a wall around it, and you depended upon a watchman to go around that wall at night and keep you healthy, would you want your watchman to be blind? I don't think so. I don't think you would. If he's blind, I'm telling you, the people inside are far from safe. And he went on to say some really tough, rough things about the watchman. Look at your Bible. He said they are all ignorant. Man, I mean, I'm sure that got the emails flying, don't you? They are all ignorant. Man, Facebook lit up right there. No doubt in my mind. This is, and it gets worse. Look, they are all dumb dogs. Now, when it says dumb, it doesn't mean like that bulldog we used to have. It means dumb in that they cannot speak. Now, let me ask you another question. Would you want your watchman up on the wall and he could not speak? I mean, the enemy attacks and he doesn't have any way to wake anybody up. He can't speak. He's dumb, as the word means. Now, I'm telling you, folks, I want my watchman to be able to speak. I want him to have some sense, don't you? I don't want my watchman to be ignorant. And I'm telling you, folks, that's why God established the institution of government. Government is designed to have some common sense. And we are in the mess that we are in our country today because common sense has gone out the door. And it has been so for a long time. Then look at verse 12. Verse 12, Isaiah said the watchman is a drunkard. Now, you certainly don't want the watchman who is guarding the town to be passed out drunk or staggering all over the top of the wall. And Isaiah's point, folks, is that they are not properly guarding the city. And so the enemy was allowed to sneak in. Let me remind you, folks, that there was a fella in the Bible who could have been one of the greatest men who ever walked on the pages of the Bible. His name was Samson. And when the Spirit of the Lord came upon that man, he was enabled to do some amazing feats which God used to judge the Philistines. Israel's constant thorn in the flesh and enemy were the Philistines. And God raised up Samson in a time when the Philistines were about at their strongest. And God chose him to be one of the judges in Israel to make sure that Israel stayed close to God and stayed right with God. But we know what happened to him, don't we? This watchman failed. This judge failed. This watchman failed, and he failed miserably. We see him falling asleep, just like verse 10 says. We see him falling asleep on the lap of an evil, wicked woman while his enemies plotted against him and the country that he was supposed to be protecting. Remember righteous Lot. The Bible calls him just a just man. Just Lot. His soul, we read, was vexed by what was taking place in the city of Sodom where he was sleeping. Now, my question is, what's this just man doing in that wicked place? He should have gotten out of there. He never should have pitched his tent so that when he opened the flap, Sodom was right there. He never should have done that, but he did. And by the time Sodom and Gomorrah are about to be destroyed, Lot is living in the city and he's got a seat in the government of the city, a place where perverts were walking about without shame, you know, sort of like today. And when he woke up and when he heard from the three angels that God sent to warn that God's wrath was going to fall, he tried to warn the people of Sodom, but no one would listen to him. Now, you know why no one would listen to him? Because they didn't respect him. They did not respect him. What was he doing living among them? You see? And nobody respected him. And I'm telling you, folks, that there are preachers in America who have been asleep for a long time across this country. George Washington said on that night, "Put none but Americans on guard." He wanted to make sure that the right people were protecting the camp. And folks, not only are the wrong people protecting Washington, D.C. and Annapolis and the cities, not only are the wrong people sitting in governments, but the wrong people have been standing behind the pulpits and sound asleep while they're doing it. You see, America's young men and women have given their lives for 2.5 centuries now to secure our freedom and to keep us free. We cannot let our churches be handed over to the Philistines or to the Muslims or to any of the false cults going around or to Hollywood or to the rock and roll crowd or to the cool guys who are perverting the gospel. We can't do that, folks. And this is why President Trump got elected in 2016. He got elected on the promise of building the wall on our southern border to keep people from coming here who don't come the right way. And he got elected upon the promise that he was going to drain the swamp of Washington, D.C. For way too long, folks, America has been guarded by the wrong people. And I think when President Trump was sworn into office as the 45th president, he saw just how big and just how muddy and just how full of snakes and just how deep and disgusting that swamp really is. Now, I don't know if you've ever thought about it, but some of our past presidents have worked against the founding documents, and they have worked against the freedom that those founding documents guarantee for every citizen. Whenever one of these men that we have elected president, and I question some of that, I really do. I really question whether or not certain ones have actually won the presidency. How much cheating goes on? We talk about Venezuela, and we talk about Russia, and we talk about China. I wonder how much of that stuff goes on here in America. I just cannot reason in my mind that America is not more conservative than it is liberal. I just can't fathom that. But anyway, I digress. Whenever one of those past presidents who also declared that he was going to drain the swamp and get rid of the evil watchman over the country, well, surprisingly, that president was either assassinated or they tried to assassinate him. I remind you, President John F. Kennedy said, "I'm going to get rid of the CIA." And a week or so after he said that, he was shot. I remind you, President Reagan was shot. And I understand that there have been several threats made against this current president. You see, those ignorant, asleep, blind, greedy dogs who sit in leadership positions all around our land and all around our world are destroying this country from the inside out. They are stripping us of our freedoms one at a time. And sadly, we have sat by and let them do it. We don't fuss about it. We don't protest about it. And listen, once you lose a freedom granted to you by God Himself, you never get it back. They'll never give it back. And I think it's time for Christians at this time in our history, it is time for the Christians across this land to wake up and to not be ashamed for believing in the Bible. We ought to stand up and say, "I'm not ashamed of God. I'm not ashamed of my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed of my Bible. I'm not ashamed of freedom. I'm not ashamed of it." And we certainly don't want our fallen heroes to have died in vain. We don't want that. They died to protect the Constitution under which we all live and breathe. They died in order to allow us to come to the house of God and to open the Word of God and to preach without hindrance what thus saith the Lord. This virus, the tornadoes all over the Midwest and South, the fires out in California, and down in Florida as well, and the hurricanes that have hit over the last couple of years, and the flooding that is constantly, it seems, taking place in North Carolina, and those dams giving away up in Michigan. I texted Dr. Hamlin, who lives quite a ways south and a little bit east of all of that, and I texted him the other day, and I said, "Do you know how to swim?" And then I texted him again, and I said, "Or do you have a boat? At least put on a life jacket, and because that water's got to go somewhere." And that was a lot of water. I mean, all these natural disasters, all these things happening to our country, this virus that has come onto our shores and has done nothing but wreak havoc among our people. I mean, do you think anything is ever going to wake America up? Do you think this nation will ever wake up and realize that God is trying to get our attention? You would think that somebody in this country, somebody in leadership, would stand up and look past the politics and look past the ideology and realize what is happening to our nation. You see, folks, God does not look over the battlements of heaven and go, "Whoops, I didn't know that was happening." No, nothing ever happens without God knowing about it. The eye of God never blinks, never. You can blink your eye and miss something, but God's eye never blinks. And I'm just saying, folks, that somebody allowed those people to stand guard who, while we trusted them and slept, slowly and over the course of many years, we slept while they took away our freedoms. One here, one there, and if we're not careful, we're going to lose them all. It's happened in our government, and folks, it has happened in our churches. I just never thought that I would live to see the day when we would invite the world into our churches. I just never thought I would see that, but that's what we're seeing. My Bible says, "Come out from among them." Who's them? The world. And yet we invite the world in and say, "Hey, come in and stir things up a little bit." No, it's come in and kill things. It's come in and destroy things. And folks, it's time to wake up, and it's time to get some watchmen on the wall who are going to truly protect us. And if we can get some real watchmen, we just might salvage this nation. I told you a couple of weeks ago, I think we have three options. I think we have three options. Number one, revival. Man, I'd love to see a genuine Holy Ghost revival sent to this land. I'd love to see that. The other is return. I would love to see the Lord Jesus come back and take us all to heaven. I'd love to see that. I don't know about you, but I'm ready to go. And our third option, I think, is ruin. Ruin. I think we're headed on the path to ruin. Those Democrats down there in Washington, D.C. would just as soon destroy the country as not get their power back. They would just as soon destroy the country. And that's why they are fighting tooth and nail to keep the country closed. They are fighting tooth and nail to do the opposite of what President Trump wants to do. And they would sacrifice the country to get power. That's sad. But that's where we are. And folks, I'm telling you, when George Washington said, "Put none but Americans on guard tonight," well, we need to get the socialists out. they're not looking out for our good. They're not looking out for our good. We need to get the liberals out of our churches. We need to get the compromisers out of our churches and get back to what thus saith the Lord. I want to take just a second here, and I want you to bow your heads with me. I want to pray, but I want to take just a second here and tell you that if you are watching this video, in just a few moments, when I close the service, there will be about a 4.5-5 minute long message by me to you about how you can get your heart right with God, how you can get saved from your sin. And I will explain it to you in that video. It just takes a couple of minutes. And my friend, if you're not sure that you're going to heaven, I want you to stick around and listen to that. Just takes 5 minutes. And I will explain to you how you need the Lord as your Savior. And I hope that you will pray that prayer when I get to the end and trust the Lord as your Savior. All right, let's close in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank you now for this time together this morning. We thank you, Father, for the heroes that have served this country, those who have given the ultimate sacrifice so that we could have the freedom to worship and to assemble, the freedom that we have today. And Father, I pray that you will put your hand upon America. I pray, Father, that we will see that revival. And if we don't see the revival, then we pray as did John, even so come, Lord Jesus. But Father, I pray that you will spare us from the ruin. I pray that you will give us a real sweeping revival in this land. And Father, if there are folks that are listening this morning and they're not sure they're saved, if they died right now, they just don't know for sure they'd go to heaven, then Father, I pray that today will be the day they listen for 5 more minutes and see their need of the Savior. So bless now, Lord, we ask. Give us a good day, and I pray that your name will be honored and lifted up in all that we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.